this
and
conference
let me,
will.
Let me tell you what I did to make this really practical. Lydia absolutely loved this part of it. That I took this article. It was very well written, and one of the reasons why I chose it to do a review of it today was because there was a direct application in every aspect of it to Manatech. So what I did is I read through this article in Harvard Business Review, is I took the key points from the book, I mean from the article, and then what I did is I said, for Manatech, what does this mean for Manatech? So I could apply it to Manatech as well. So you'll see that the ABCDEs in each of the thing, if you correspond, if there are 3 points for the Steve Jobs concept, then underneath for Manatech, I matched up 3 points that would match up for Manatech. So there's a direct correlation between the languaging about the leadership lessons of Steve Jobs as it relates to Manatech. So let's jump in and talk about, and of course everybody knows who Steve Jobs is or was and what he's meant for this country and this world today. I mean, it's just, and where Apple's going, even after he's gone, Apple's almost doubled in price. So it's amazing the impact this man has had on the world today as we know it, with his incredible drive and his incredible intellect and creativity and a lot of the greatness of Steve. And for those of you who've read his book and know more about him, you know that he also had I call it kind of the dark side, and that was his dark side was how he treated people. And so I'm not advocating him as the perfect man in any way, shape, or form. He had a lot of downsides to him, but one thing that was a gigantic upside was he believed anything was possible. I mean, impossibility wasn't a word in his vocabulary. And through his drive and his incredible energy that he put forth in everything that he endeavored to do, and his single purposeness of when he approached issues, is remarkable what he created. So let's jump in and talk about these characteristics, leadership lessons from Stephen. And number one was focus. And of course, we've heard a lot about focus, right? I mean, what is Tony Jerry's book, Strategic Acceleration, what was the number one thing? It was focus, right? And it's how critical it is. And Steve isolated what he did when he jumped in and returned to Apple in 1997, of course. He found a company that was in total disarray. It was almost into bankruptcy, and he just got in. And the first thing he noticed, he just said, everybody's out there trying to build a random array of products because they're trying to flood the marketplace. And he just stopped everything, and he said, we have four areas, and we have consumer and pro are two categories, and then we have desktop and portable. So those are, under consumer, you have the desktop and portable, and under the pro, you have desktop and portable. He said, our job is to focus on four great products, one in each of the quadrants. And that's how he did. He just said, all other products are totally canceled. And, of course, that blew away a lot of the people there. But his concept was, keep focused on things. Keep a single-minded purpose so that you can be the best at what you do. And then every year he would have what he called a top 100 retreat, and he would take the top 100 people that he considered, of course, this was his concept of who qualifies as the top 100 people. He'd take them on a retreat. And on the last day of the retreat, he would stand in front of a whiteboard. He loved whiteboards because, of course, they gave him total control over what was going on in the room. And he would say, what are the 10 things we should be doing next? That was the question. And the people would fight to get their suggestions on the list. I mean, he would cause a brawl to occur sometimes among people because they all felt so that they were right. So they would all, fight over who would get the 10 things. And after this whole rigmarole, it might take as much as 2 to 4 hours just to get the 10 things out there. And he would write them down, and of course, ones that were dumb, he'd just cross off and just see, and he'd start up. But he would get the ideas from the group, and then after they finally got their list of 10, then Steve would say, okay, put them in order. He'd put them in order of what are most important, and he would slash the bottom 7, and he'd circle the top 3. He goes, we can only do these 3. And so that's how they decided what their next year was going to be like, and focus going to be on 3 products. Isn't that awesome? So he really got it clear. And he also was, a guy that would constantly be part of isolating people so their focus could be so central. And he knew he couldn't succeed unless their focus was such, because he focused on every little detail with every single product. And if you're off doing five different products, you're going to leave by the wayside some of the things that you're working on. And some of you in Manatech today can almost relate to that. You know, if you don't have single-minded purpose, if you're not really driving things, like right now, Lydia and I went and visited a health food store last week. They fell in love with the Give for Real program. It wasn't so much the product, although they really enjoyed learning about Nutrivirus, but it was the Give for Real. They looked at me and said, now I love this because this is about heart. And so they asked us to put a package together to show exactly what our what we planned on doing. Well, if I divert myself and do seven other things, I'm not going to be focused, single-minded focused on supporting that health food store. And that health food store could potentially bring, like my other one, where I have one that's bringing in 6,000 of volume monthly in my organization. So I'm very interested in making sure this is an incredible project. So I can't divert my attention. I need a single-minded focus on what this package is going to look like. Very professional, very well done, so that he can see exactly how it's going to flow, how it's going to move, what I'm going to contribute, our organization here, Lydia and I, what we're going to contribute to make it happen, and then what it's going to look bottom line for him. So we're putting all that together in single. But it's the idea of isolating ourselves and instead of just throwing a lot of darts out there and seeing what, whatever works. We're out there, we're trying different avenues, but when we have a touch, when we have something that somebody responds well to, our idea is to grab onto it and really grab it in full. So and then we have, an iridologist in Houston that's excited as all get out, and she's getting started on the products today for herself and wants to build it in her practice. So that's another single-minded focus that we have for that, because we're looking at highest leverage activities, what's going to produce the highest results for us, and that's part of what our approach is today. And that's what Manatech's about. You know, we learned highest leverage activities when we went through strategic acceleration with Tony Jury. And you can see how much of this stuff you're going to learn today in this call. It ties back to Tony Jury stuff. But so you want to look at high leverage activities and put your time and energy there. Don't be putting your time and energy into things that aren't producing results. There are a lot of things that are fun and a lot of things that might give you some exposure, but are they creating results? Another example of this would be my karate tournament last weekend. We've done karate tournaments in the past, and this one we didn't choose to do. They chose us. They got in contact with us and said, we want you back. And I thought, wow, that's something. They remembered us from last year. We hadn't done one in almost 9 months. And for some of you, we no longer associated with ISCA, so we couldn't do the same thing we did in the past around tying ourselves to ISCA. But the idea was that they wanted us back. So looking at the focus of this, I said, what didn't work last year? What should we do differently? And what one of the things that didn't work for us in focusing on target marketing was we had a fishbowl there, and we raffled off a free product. And a lot of people use that as a way to gain contacts information. Well, I remembered after five karate tournaments that I think we signed up one, but I spent endless hours following up with 25 cards after each karate tournament. And most of the people, they had no intent on ever being on a product. They only filled out the card because they wanted to win something for free. They were free addicts, okay, instead of health people. So this year I put cards out that said, would you like a free health consult? And we only got five over the weekend, over a day and a half. We got five cards back, but we already signed up two of those five, and the other three are in the works. So see the difference is the focus on what can make us the best and produce the highest and best results. So we need to keep changing and turning that crystal. What can we do differently that's going to give us the highest and best results? So again, high leverage activities, put your time and energy there. Focus on what's going to make the highest, give you the highest and best results. Sorry, I needed a drink there. And then review with yourself and your social media all your strategies. I mean, what strategies you're involved in. Make a list and isolate which are most important. And then pick a limited number. Don't go out there and try to do 100 different strategies. Pick a number that makes some sense to you, that's something that you can be the best you can be at. Instead of going out and being, mediocre at 10 things, be absolutely terrific at 2 or 3. And it'll make all the difference in the world. But sometimes you have to test the water to find out what you're the best at before you do that. And that means so maybe you do throw a bunch of darts out, say, where do I feel most comfortable in my arena, and now I want to isolate and be the best I can be doing this. Now, this never stops us from lifestyle marketing. You know, that means whoever you handing out those cards, doing your Navigate every day while you're grocery shopping, while you're, you should have your Navigate cards with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you should be doing lifestyle marketing. Everywhere you go. That's a given. That's not, I'm not putting that as a strategy because that's a given for all of us. It's the specific things like whether you want to approach health food stores, whether you want to go after chiropractors, whether you want to go after, you know, karate tournaments or whatever. So, you know, don't try to do 100 things. Try to really be good at a few things and that'll produce your highest, best results. So focus is critical. The next thing he talked about was simplify. So our second leadership lesson is simplify. And of course, Jobs was, he had a Zen-like, because of course he was a huge Buddhist, you know, he went over and spent time with, in India, and he was very, you know, very structured, very committed to his Zen, training, and he had this Zen-like ability to focus and accompanied by his related instinct to simplify things by zeroing in on their essence and eliminating unnecessary components. That's his basic nature. He said, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. And that language actually was in Apple's first marketing brochure. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. Isn't that a great, I love that quote, simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. And it really is so very true. And he said he took things that were very complicated and made them very uncomplicated. He conquered complexity rather than ignoring it, and that's crucial for us. In a moment I'll share you that. And then he also tried at every meeting to meet ways to cut clutter. So how does this work with us? In terms of our Manatech business, well, simplifying things means, you know, in the process of us presenting products or business, we really want to keep it simple. And one of the ways that I've, you know, taken this to heart is when I do a three-way call, like I find out in advance what the three-way call is going to be about. And I've never done this before, but I'm doing it every single three-way call now. I put an outline together. And I put together what crystal clear what I want to get across and what I want to bring up to get those things across. Because I don't want to drift off. I want to go in a direction that doesn't need to be gone in. I want to keep it simple yet very refined to concepts that a person can really grapple with. And so when I do a three-way call about the business, and I'm just sharing with you, one of the things that I found out is so effective is asking a person questions. Like, if you're doing this business, here's one of my absolute favorites. I say, when you go out and you do this business, do you think you're going to find more people who want to just consume the products or people that want to do the business? See, what this is doing is allowing them to get involved in the conversation. And every single person I've given that question to has said, well, probably up front, more people are going to want to just consume. And you'll go, you're exactly right. In fact, statistics tell us that on first blush, over 90% of people are going to want to consume the products first. So that's the idea behind the business plan we have. Building a business unit is about finding 20 customers and finding about 4 associates. So that's a business unit. So you see how I tie, making something that could be very complex into something very simple and involving them in the process. So that we want to make sure we're doing that. We want to zero into the essence and eliminate all the unnecessary things that are out there. I don't talk about team bonus. I don't talk about, you know, none of that stuff. It just gets complicated. I take complications, power bonus, team bonus. I mean, you know, people get overloaded. They want to stay in simplicity. And that's another reason why I use my 12-month business plan, because I keep it very simple. You know, that's complex enough just looking at it, but I try to narrow it down to the simplicity of what it really represents. And then just duplication, because really the 12-month plan is just building a business unit and just duplicating it. You're just consistently duplicating a business unit. And that's what takes something very complicated and isolates it into something very simple. So you want to make sure you're looking at, well, how am I doing that? How are you doing that when you're talking about the Manatech business? And if you're not talking about the Manatech business, then my question is, are you out there trying to attract business builders, or are you just trying to attract consumers? Because what you are put your intentionality around is what you're going to create. I'm really looking for business builders, and in the process, we'll find a ton of consumers. But you can be whatever your focus is what you're going to create. So you can be totally focused on just finding tons of consumers, and through that, some business builders will fall out. It's just a choice you make on what your intentionality is. And you can go to different events and choose to be focused on certain people at different events. When I went to the karate event, I had a multi-focus. So it wasn't just assuming I was going to get, I assumed that I was going to get customers, but also find, because some people, that's where I found the iridologist. That's where I found a couple consumers who just wanted the product. So, you know, it's about capturing what the moment has to offer you, too. So there's some flexibility in that. But have in your mind what you'd like to achieve, because that's really, you know, it's a law of attraction. It's as a man thinketh, so is he. You'll create it. And when there's a complexity, like the science of glycobiology, how the cells communicate, or how does residual income flow? You know, when somebody asks you questions about this, you need to have an answer. And the answer, it's too complicated, is not adequate, because right away you're telling them they're not going to understand it. And they're looking at you as the leader in their organization. So if you don't understand it, what could be a proper response where they could still honor you as leader? You could say, well, you know, I'm relatively new in this, and I've been just, my training is limited on that area, so let me get you in touch with my team member that's very knowledgeable, who's also instructing me at this time. Follow me? So something like that, so that you're honoring, but you're honoring to yourself, so that you're still supporting yourself as a leader, because they're looking at you to be their leader. They can also look at your upline to be support, which means that they can feel confident they're going to get all the support they need. But to tell somebody it's way too complicated, or to say, I don't know anything about that, I've been in Manitech and I just know it makes money, you're not going to get any serious networkers to get involved with you when you use that kind of language. Okay? So you want to make sure that you can take something complex and bring it to simple. And the clutter idea, we all know that. Clutter is ridiculous. I mean, clutter is what stops you dead in the water. And you can look at, again, Tony Jury's Strategic Acceleration. He talks about clutter in there, as well as robbing from your focus. And that's exactly what happens. I know it, because some days I look around, I'll look at Lydia and say, we have to stop right now because we can't go forward. I can't go forward. And when that happens, I don't even want to be in the business of Manitech, because I find myself stifled by the clutter. So we have to, and trust me, there's a lot of clutter in our life because we got 12 different things going on at the same time between foundation work and real estate and all the things that we're doing. We're multitasking almost every day. So we have to just stop sometimes and get rid of the clutter. And every one of us need to do that. So there should be some mechanism in your daily operations, whether it's at the end of the day or, you know, you schedule it in your day where you rid the clutter. And I say mostly get rid of it in the circular file, which means throw it away. Today with computer technology, 90% of what you need should be stored in your computer. Not 100%. Lydia said 100 in the background, but as I look over at my racks, where I used to keep all my medical studies that we had on each different disease condition, I'll never forget that. That's a thing of the past, right, because of the, you know, Texas AG. But now I have racks that have all the tear sheets, you know, separate tear sheets that I have, as well as some of the things for Give for Real and the plotters. So I included the things that are really necessary for me to do my business. So there were going to be some things that we'll have that that we might use outside of the realm of just computer. But even today, tear sheets you can print off your computer. I just know that sometimes when I go to do meetings at churches, I like to hand out a tear sheet on Phytoburst shoes, so I'll have a pack of those, or whatever, to be in a position where I can always meet the needs of the people in that environment. Number three, take responsibility end-to-end. Make hardware, software, and peripheral all seamlessly integrated. This is about seamless integration, and we need to do it ourselves for Manitech. We need to have seamless integration. When I look at that, I say, if you're going to present products, you need to have a seamless integration. In other words, what's your presentation look like? We should have absolutely structured, final presentations. In products or business, we should have it down pat. Now, what causes us to stumble in this area? A lot of it is when new things come up. Just when we think we know how to do our Manitech business, what happens when Manitech brings in something new? And some of you get very frustrated by that. I'm overjoyed by it because I love change, but I also know the value, like what came out at Manifest. Was I upset that Manitech came out with Nutriveris? No. Does it change the way I do Manitech? Absolutely. fact, one of my people asked me today, they say, Mary Jo, what, and I said, I lead with Nutriverse with everyone. Nutriverse is foundational in everyone's life. So if somebody has allergies, I start with Nutriverse. If it's environmental allergies, I add Manacea. But it starts with Nutriverse, because nothing's more important than knowing that you're foundationally fed with the proper nutrients you need, and that's number one requirement. So when I work with people, Nutriverse is, and that wouldn't have happened 5 months ago, but it happens to be the way I do Manatech today, and very doable because the product is very affordable. So they change our life a little bit, but they change it for the better, and that means you have to shift and change accordingly. If you keep doing the things you've always been doing, if anyone in this call is doing what they've always been doing, and Manifest didn't change your life, with the new 4-free discount program and the new Nutriverse, I'm asking you to really work with your upline, because you're missing the boat. What's happening today is so new and exciting, and you need to be a part of that. And then he said, you know, a desire came from controlling personality. He has a controlling personality, but he has a passion for perfection. So, and our passion needs to be for duplication. That's what I say. You know, I don't want you to be perfect. I don't want you to vie for perfection, because if you vie for perfection, it's going to stop you from going out and sharing with people, because you're always trying to be perfect. And we have enough in that quadrant called the analyst quadrant or the C quadrant. They need to know everything because they don't want to make a mistake. I want you to get out there and share with people in advance of being perfect. But your passion should be for duplication. Everything you do should be, you should answer that question, can a person with a 7th grade education do this? That's what's important, to make it duplicatable for people. All right, number 4, when behind leapfrog, he just talked about innovation, that we need to innovate, and he also talked about in Apple, they had to, in order to stay ahead, they needed to cannibalize their own products. Well, you know, Manatech is awesome in innovation. I mean, between Ambertose, our number one innovation is still the number one glyconutrient product in the world today, Ambertose, and all the other innovations they've come up with, the AO and Phytomatrix, all breakthrough technologies, putting Manatech on top. But also with Nutriverse, they've shown that they cannibalize too. In fact, when you listen to Dr. Rob talk about that product, he had to cannibalize all our other products to develop Nutriverse. Well, the iPad, he cannibalized the iPod for the iPhone. He cannibalized his laptops for the iPad. We don't have to worry about cannibalization, because what we're doing is creating new demand. And that's what we're doing with Nutriverse. We're creating new demand. And that's what's going to cause our business to double, triple, quadruple, because we're creating new demand. Number 5 was putting products before profit. Steve Jobs never worried about profitability or gross profit margins. He only focused on one thing: how great is the product, and in creating demand with new products. So he didn't compromise. And Manatech's the same way. They don't compromise their products. You know, their focus is on people, what people need, and being the highest and best quality product in the marketplace. And integrity always comes first. You can never compromise. For us, never compromise integrity. You know, trust is a core principle in building relationships, and our business is all about building relationships. And then he said the other aspect was too is he always had that he said when the company is led by marketing people, like when he put Sully in charge of Apple, it was a disaster, because now it's no longer product driven. And if you look at our history, I thought it was so fascinating to look at Wayne Betavinas, and when we put marketing people in front of this company, we had our issues. When we put product people like Rob Sinnott now the company's coming out and exploding once again, because we're driven by product. Nutriverse and Ambertose, we need to be driven by product, not marketing people. So it's kind of fun to see that we're leading with our best technology. Number 6, don't be a slave to focus group. This really talks about going through Steve looking at, we're not caring about what customers want. We're building, we're creating things that are going to create unlimited demand. So intuition is crucial, and same with Manatech. They didn't look at what the market wants. They looked at, we're creating things that's going to build phenomenal demand, like Nutriverse. The market's not demanding one product that contains all, but we created it because it's going to develop an unlimited demand, because it's so simple, so convenient, so affordable. And all we have to do is go out there and share it with the world. That's why some of you are saying, well, Mary Jo, I'm presenting Nutriverse and I'm not getting quite the reception. And I go, well, do you understand what you're doing is you're creating demand. People they're not looking for Nutriverse. You're sharing a product. It's the method that you share it that creates the demand. So start looking at your languaging. That's why I spend so much time on other calls and developing languaging. I have a whole sheet of languaging around Nutriverse to help people so that you're creating the demand. And when you understand that, you're going to be so much better at marketing Nutriverse, because if you're sitting out there expecting people to see it the moment you mention it, that's not going to happen. So how do you create the demand for it? That's your job, and that's the beauty of languaging that we put together. So bend reality, number seven is bend reality. That's his reality distortion theory, that he chose that reality is never a limitation on what can be created. So it's always, and I love reality distortion theory. I absolutely love it. Lydia will tell you, I'm like, she says, Mary Jo asked me to do things that are impossible and or that are crazy, but we figure out how to do them. And there's never greater joy on Lydia's face when she figures out a way to do it. Something, and it always stretches her, so she enjoys that aspect of it. But nothing is ever impossible. Anything is possible. We don't live in a limitation. We don't live in an arena of limited resources. And remember, I was a person that, you know, some of you know my background, but when I went to undergrad, my undergraduate degree was in economics and political science. And in the economics realm, it was all about Keynesian economics, was the law of limited resources. So I wasn't built into this abundance theory. And it's really amazing. Paul Zane Pilser, when he was at the Chicago Convention, really blew up in my mind when he talked about unlimited resources and all this kind of stuff. And that's really where I come from. That's where my heart is. But that's not my training. My training was very much the opposite. But the idea was that there's reality distortion theory is living beyond, which means for us in Manitech, it means that don't let people live in their past. How many people get involved in Manitech and they go, well, I've never been affected at network marketing, so I don't want to do it again. And I go, oh, so, and some of you go, you just let that go. So I look at people and I go, so somehow you're suggesting to me that I'm supposed to believe that your past controls your future. And I said, so what does that build for anyone who's been an alcoholic or drug addict or somebody who came from a really tarnished family? I said, are you trying to suggest that, you know, by your own languaging and your own actions and your own person, you're trying to suggest that past controls future? And maybe if it's true for you, then maybe this business isn't for you, because how are you going to ever help people dream again? I mean, when you ask a person what do they dream of being, you know, today you're going to find that the majority of people don't even dream. And so how are you going to be in their lives when you can't help them create a dream if you don't believe in it? So you got to look at bending the reality. It's that, and that's how I look at it as it applies to Manitech. We need to, you know, we can't let past stop us. We need to dream again. And belief, in of itself, belief. Steve Jobs had unending belief. And belief is so critical. In fact, in most network marketing books, if you read it, it's the number one characteristic. And how many of you have read Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich? When he spent 20 years talking to every successful person on earth at the time, and he interviewed tons of people who were multimillionaires. Today would have been multibillionaires, right? And he talked to them about, you know, and interviewed them to find out what caused them to be so successful. And the one core principle that carried out through every single one of the people, the only one, was their unwavering belief. Okay, so if that's not enough for you, I don't know, you could do your own 20-year experiment and you know, expose and research. But I like to rely on people that have done the work, and I take their assessments and move it forward in my life. Next, number eight was impute, and this is a concept. People judge a cover by a book by its cover. So imputing, from his perspective, is like when people see my product, they're going to impute immediately. They're going to come to judgment immediately about value. So it was one of Jobs' three most critical principles. The other two were empathy and focus. For Manitech, impute means packaging us, because what are we really selling? When you're out there meeting with a health food store or at a karate tournament or doing one-on-ones or doing three-way calls, what are you selling? And if you tell me you're selling Manitech products, you are oh so wrong. You are oh so wrong. When you're at each and every one of these instances in any relationship with a person, the number one thing you're selling is yourself. Because if they don't believe in you, they're not going to believe in anything else you have to say. So what is your appearance? What are your actions? How are you showing empathy? What kind of concern are you showing for the other person? Impute could be your most important principle you learn from this call today, because it's about you. So how am I showing up? Do I look totally like I just crawled from under a rock? What kind of appearance are you giving people? What kind of joy do you have in your life? What kind of spirit do you show? Ask all those questions. First impression, absolutely critical. Because some of us, when we give a bad first impression, it takes us months to overcome that. And sometimes it never happens. Number 9, push for perfection. Again, this was Jobs, absolute obsessive with perfection. And again, I don't want you to be obsessive about perfection, but I want you to be obsessive about personal growth. Because you never have arrived on this planet. Jobs didn't even arrive. That's why I strove for greatness every single moment of his life. He wasn't done with Macintosh. He wasn't done with iPhone. He wasn't done with none of the. I mean, he was striving every day. If he were on Earth today, what do you think Jobs would be doing? Would be sitting home basking in his glory? Absolutely not. He'd be out there and he'd be at Apple headquarters, so on focus with the next greatest breakthrough that we're going to see in technology. And that's what his people that were behind him are doing. Cook is doing a phenomenal job of running that company, and he's got the same drivers behind him. He's a different person for sure, but he's doing the same thing. So, but we want to be obsessed with us growing ourselves, because obsessed with us growing ourselves is an obsession in and of itself about being as best as we can be, being the best you can be. And that means every day I read, I pour into myself, I look at tweaking myself. How can I be different? I never get sold on Mary Jo Hilliker, ever. Because there's always a way I can improve, always a way I can touch more lives, always a way I can be different. And I love the play. I love the play of being able to look at myself as a piece of clay and conform it and restructure it. And I mean, it's just a joy to be able to do that. And some of you have been on this ride with me, and you can say over the last 10 years, have you seen a difference in Mary Jo Hilliker? And the feedback I get on that is humongous. And feedback even from presidentials in Manatech. And it's just wonderful because I love that play I have with myself. But when we lose that, that's a sadness that I see because then we get stuck. And I don't want to be stuck. I want to have that play always going on in my life about being the best I can be. And that means improving my walk with the Lord. That means improving my ability to relate to people. It means involving myself in the mission field, involving myself here, putting my foundation together, getting myself so actively involved in different arenas where I meet new people that inspire me and drive me. And I read books for people to inspire me and drive me and help me be the best I can be. And that's what we all need to do. Number 10, tolerate only A players. And Jobs only hired the best when he went to great length to find them and entice them away from other people. It was his way of preventing what he called a bozo explosion. And I don't like his languaging. This is just part of Steve Jobs. I don't call anyone a bozo. I wouldn't use that anywhere in my vocabulary. But it's indicative of Steve Jobs because he was unbelievably treacherous when it came to personal relationships. He would tear you from limb to limb. He had no hold back on that issue. But for Manatech, what does it mean for us? It means for us that we can't sell out. We can't come from scarcity mentality and grab onto people under the rock and say, oh, you're my next biggest and best business builder, when they show absolutely no characteristics to be able to do that. How many people have you driven down a path or you spent endless hours with? Time is your only limited resource. You want to go out there and find people that are driven, people that really, when they see this incredible opportunity, they're going to take action to do something about it. Our lives aren't about convincing people and dragging them across the finish line. And if you find yourself there, stop it. I'm going through right now, I'm doing some coaching with some people in my organization. And it's fascinating because I have some people that, I put hoops out there. They say they're all in. They want to do the business. And I go, okay, great. Here's the work. First, I want you to do your why. Give me your ideal day and set some goals. And if they don't jump through the hoops, they're done. You know what I mean? Then my next conversation with them is then, obviously, you're not committed to this. What is it that you're looking for in life? And is there another way I can support you with something else you're doing? Because Manitech's not for you. You're not willing. And then they come back and they fight to get Manitech back. And I go, you know, your actions, you know, it's amazing how people think that their words mean more than their actions. It's amazing. But, you know, God put them in my life too. So there's something else here. There's a lesson to be learned here for them. And how am I going to portray that lesson? They're not going to be business partners of mine in Manitech because they clearly don't want to do it. But some of you fight so hard to get them to be your partner in Manitech, and you miss the whole point. They're giving you 101 signals of why not. And it's time to agree with them instead of fight. And why do we fight so hard? Because of scarcity. We think there's no one else out there who's going to want to join our business. Wrong. Next, maybe the next 10 people you sign up are all consumers. That's great. What an awesome benefit. You'll make more money from them than you would from an associate anyway. So go have fun and enjoy signing up the consumers. But the idea is don't fight to make people square pegs fit into round holes. If they don't fit, they don't fit. And if they say all these great words about how they fit and then they don't jump through the hoops, then they don't fit. They're all words, no action. There's a huge commitment problem. And you don't need to grapple with that for the next 5 years of your life. Great, so I see you at Manifest 5 years from now, and you go, Mary Jo, I finally made it to regional director because this person I've been working on, I got him through this and this and this, and finally he signed up his first 4 people. It only took him 4.5 years. I don't want to hear that story. That is not what Manitech's about. So, A players, it has an application for us. 11, engage face-to-face. Oh, did this hit the home run ball for us? In other words, it's not about webinars, emails, chats, all that kind of stuff. You guys want to do social, build your whole downline on the internet, fine. Even Steve Jobs, a techno guru, said he hated email, chats, and all that stuff. He said, I want to meet people face-to-face. Creativity comes from spontaneous meetings. For Manitech, face-to-face, this is always going to be a belly-to-belly business. So be ready for it. Be involved in active marketing. We talked about active versus passive last week. That's what you want to do. Get out there and be active marketing. 12, know both the big picture and the details. For Jobs, his passion covered both the vision for the whole company and every minute detail down to the screws that were put in the back of the computers. And all of you know that. He made the inside of every laptop look as beautiful as the outside. That was who he was. And how many of us are really concerned with all of that? When you start getting very concerned about the details, how you present yourself, what do you have, are you in store, are you prepared? When you start being concerned about all of that, you're going to perform at a different level. So we need to have really a concern for our details, but also have the vision, the big picture, so we can support people's belief in us as leaders. They can see all of that in us. So are you a vision person and a detail person? Be both. Grab onto both. 13, combine the humanities with the sciences. And this is Steve Jobs connected the humanities to the science with creativity, technology, arts, and engineering. And his creative mind and humanities to make this something that was artistic. Everything he created was artistic. Even the boxes he shipped things in were artistic. He was all about art for him, putting an art form associated with a technology form. And that was such a huge difference. That's what distinguished him in many ways. For us, we have the great distinction. When I think about humanities, for us, I think about, well, first of all, it's my human interaction with people, how much I love on people. When I meet them and share with them and care about them, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Remember? It's incredible how much you care is so important. But give for real is also our huge heart. That's why that health word star guy goes, now you've hit the home run ball. He says, this I love. This is heart. See? I mean, what a difference. When you touch and communicate with people at that level, what do you think you have there? I would have to be pathetically poor to not get this health food store started in a huge way, right? Because he got it at a heart level. He connected at a heart level. So huge for us to make sure we're connecting at a heart level as well with people that we work with. And finally, number 14 was stay hungry, stay foolish. Jobs was as a human being, he was a creation out of two major movements that happened in his lifetime early on. Well, those were the hippies. He was definitely into acid and drugs and things like that. I mean, he was out there, yes, that was part of his life, about being outside the box, about being a nonconformist in a huge way. And he was also gigantic in the technology explosion. Those were the two movements that totally captured his beingness. But he stayed hungry and foolish throughout his career by making sure that his business and engineering aspects of his personality were always complemented by the hippie nonconformist side from his days as an artist. That never changed with Steve. And for us in Manitech, stay hungry is about we are always hungry. Don't ever get satisfied. Always stay hungry. And I'm not saying satisfied. You can be satisfied through Christ. For me, that's my satisfaction. I'm satisfied. But I'm hungry to do more because that's what he would want me to do on this earth. I'm always hungry to do more. Always hungry. And for me, staying foolish is about allowing my immaturity to show up at every opportunity. I mean, I want to have that childlike perspective. When I run around my church on Sunday morning doing visitation and hug on everybody and love on them and the joy and jumping up and down. I know you're not supposed to dance as a Baptist, but I dance in my church every Sunday. I mean, it's fun. It's about love. It's about life. It's about loving on people. And so I stay, that foolish girl-like experience never will leave me. And we want to have that foolish sense of us that just allows us to just to have the freedom and flexibility of being able to show that side of us and be that child, have that childlike experience in things that we do, because that's a detractor factor, people. And we want to open up the freedom for others to feel that same way, that they can participate at that same level. And that's it. So 1 through 14. Okay, guys, that's it. What a great. So did you feel that what I felt reading this article? And you can find this article, I believe, on the internet. But reading this article brought so much joy in my life because it just had such an incredible impact on me in terms of how it totally applied to Manitech. And hopefully you saw that through the call today. Hopefully there's something in here out of these 14 leadership lessons from Steve Jobs that perhaps floats your boat and allows you to feel some freedom into, you know, where do I need to shift? Where do I need to spend more time and energy to perhaps to exemplify some of these leadership traits in my business. It's always a movement in a direction, and we just need to stay focused and stay real with our course, which is to help change this world around us, and that's really what we're here to do. So thanks, everybody. Any last minute comments, questions?
Mary Jo?
Yeah.
This is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Thank you so much for your inspiration. I have a question. You mentioned we're no longer tied to ISCA. Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, the ISCA relationship with Manitech has been disconnected. In other words, they both found a parting of ways. So when you're out there sharing with people, you can't say that our products are endorsed by ISCA and we're the only product that line that they support. They have endorsed our product line. You could use that as past tense, that ISCA has endorsed our product line. But currently, that relationship no longer exists. And it had a lot to do with both sides. I mean, a lot of the dojos and the karate, you know, people just weren't following through with what the whole purpose of this was, to help drive this business for the studios, to help support them, to have an alternative income stream and help to get the word out about Manitech products. Well, that just, it didn't happen. And maybe it was faulty, you know, initial faulty marketing concepts and ideas or not strong enough implementation concepts. Once it got into a karate studio, I noticed that there wasn't really anything that was ongoing to support the studio owners to be the best they could be. But it also is like the same thing with, I look at it as chiropractors. If you work with a chiropractor and you think that putting a display in his office is going to make all the difference in the world, what are you going to find out? That's not the way it works. You as the associate has to be very, very actively involved with the parents and the patients, and you have to have direct contact. And I think a lot of the dojos, a lot of the karate tournament, karate studios weren't willing necessarily to give you that flexibility of doing that. So So that's kind of what happened. It was an experiment, lasted for a good year and a half or so, and just never panned out into being what they had wanted it to be. Either side.
This is Anita. I wanted to know, how do you answer when somebody says, well, how are the packets differ? How do they differ from the Nutriveris? Because the Nutriveris does not have the plus. And how do you answer that?
I think you just answered it.
Well, I mean, then do you say to them, if you want the endocrine system supported, then you have to get the plus?
Yeah. Well, here, let me give you my definitive on that. If somebody's already take, because most people don't know about the packets that I'm working with when I work with new people. When I work with pre-existing associates in the organization, I let them know that that Nutriveris is purely a foundational nutritional supplement. It gives minimal amounts of nutrients necessary for the human body to operate on a daily basis. Okay, so it has, you know, equivalent of about a half teaspoon of Ambertose a day, AO, it's got Phytomatrix in there, and it's got a greens product, like a bar, I call it like a barley greens, but it's all coming from organic sources, fruits and vegetables, and then it has rice bran. So it's a terrific base foundational nutritional product. When you're taking the packs, you're getting more value. You're getting a higher level of Phytomatrix because you're getting a lot of the fruits and vegetables that are added in addition to just the vitamins, minerals. You're getting plus. You're getting 4+, which is the endocrine system support product, which is basically non-existent. There is some plant sterol in rice bran, but not anywhere near what you find in the plus product. The Ambertose you're getting is different than the Ambertose in the Nutriveris. It's Nutriveris has some of the glyconutrients, but not the full complement. And AO has different ingredients than does Nutriveris. So it's the packs are truly different. They're more advanced. They're a higher level of support. So I would never shift the packs for the Nutriveris ever.
Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty.
So that's the concept. Why Nutriveris today? Because Manitech came up with a way to combine their technologies in one foundational product that can help bring to people who perhaps aren't on any supplements today, perhaps aren't seeing any difference because they're taking synthetic things, to give them a start, a foundation of what they need to just get the bare basics of nutritional support in a 100% real food technology.
All righty. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I take the packs every day. I don't know how many else on the call do, but I'm taking Nutriveris and my packs. I'm taking both. I had somebody who got off the packs and just went to Nutriveris, and they ended up going back to the packs because they said their energy slumped. They saw a difference in their energy level, and I said, well, that's attributable to the plus. Probably 99% chance that that's accurate because that is your endocrine system support. And a lot of our energy comes from our hormone balance. When you're out of balance hormonally, what happens is your energy slumps. Yeah.
Mary Jo?
Yep.
So in the Nutriveris, you're not getting the full amount of Phytomatrix and AO that you would in the packs?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely true. In other words, and here's a fact for you. If you look at Phytomatrix, they have all the ingredients listed in terms of vitamins and minerals. Okay? At the bottom of the Phytomatrix, they give you a whole flurry of different nutrients you're getting from, like, pomegranate. I don't have it in front of me, but there are a whole list of other nutrients that Manitech supplemented in that product that come from, whether it's blueberry or different berries, those are very expensive. And those are the things that are not in your Nutriveris. So there's a higher degree of nutrients in Phytomatrix, although it may not be showing up on the chart of how many vitamin A, B, C, D. It still is the extra nutrition that Manitech built in that product to make it a superior vitamin mineral supplement.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One more question, Mary Jo. Do you have in your past things on your mana train, do you have more on languaging?
I can send you out. You mean languaging for Nutrivirus? Is that what you're
looking
for? I can send you, Lydia can send you, Anita, I'll make a note to that, to send that out to you.
All right, thank you.
Yep, you bet. And maybe we do a call. Would that help all you guys if I just did a call and how are we communicating this today? What does that look like?
Yes.
Because I need to, for me, I've been talking about this now for 2 months and it's nonstop and it's so natural, but I want to meet your needs on this call, not Mary Jo's.
Mary Jo?
So the concepts I need to hear from you guys. If you're stumbling around that and you're not finding it's effective, then let's talk about that, right? Yeah. Rudy? Is that you?
Yeah. Yes. Listen, I was just going to ask for that request because I'm visiting with people and about general nutrition, but then I don't want to put them down, and say, well, what you're eating here is just pure fiber and, doesn't have any nutrients. I mean, it doesn't. But then I want to go into the product, but then I sound like a salesman. And that's a stumbling block that I'm running into.
Great, because we don't want you to be a salesman. I really am not a salesman.
Right.
I mean, I really am not. I am a total educator. I talk about, I love to break it open by just talking to people and saying, well, are you familiar with our food today? I mean, I call it like edible food-like substances. Do you agree with that? Oh, people love that because they love it. They laugh. They think it's hilarious. I mean, it's not my original language. It comes out of Food Inc., but it opens the floodgates with people. They get it. And then I talked to them about awareness about, that, I don't know, you might be taking some supplements, but what's so fascinating is we have this gigantic group of, food-like substances. I call it, they're synthetic and processed and genetically modified. And then we're trying to treat it by going out and buying supplements, and 95% of our supplements are synthetic. I mean, that's a statistic. That's a known statistic that we have. So we're trying to treat our synthetic diet with these synthetic supplements. Does that make sense to you? So see, I'm not. You follow that? That's a beautiful, because now you're just asking them to participate in the arena of analyzing this, right? And they become a participant with you. Otherwise, you're just lecturing people. I don't like to lecture people. I like to inform and let them come to conclusions. If they say, no, I really like my Centrum, and I go, great, then that's your choice. But know what you're doing, right? Next. I mean.
Hey, this is the kind of language that I think we all should want to hear, I think. And if you could devote a Monday call, on that subject alone, I think it would improve.
You got it. Guess what the title of next Monday's call is? Languaging in our new marketplace. How's that? Okay? I will do a talk next Monday on languaging, post-manifest, new languaging, how to make a difference in people's lives. Okay? And we'll talk that. Great.
Mary Jo?
Yes, Fred.
Yes. Sam has put on there one line thing on one of his slides about a nutrition or somebody expert saying that the diet or the food that we get from our grocery stores really cannot keep us healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you conclude that in your message on Monday so we can get that down and write? I'd like to get that quote written down.
Yeah, but I'll try to get that quote. The food that we get from grocery stores can't keep us healthy.
Right. That's the gist of it. And
okay.
It's a one-liner or something like that, but it's so powerful.
All right. Now, the important thing for that is, though, let me just talk to you about languaging, and I know we'll get into this next Monday, and we're way past our time, but to follow up on that, here's just an idea. If I look at somebody and I said, do you know the food that you get off the grocery store can't keep you healthy today? We're sounding too. I won't use that language with somebody like it's mine. I might use it as a quote and give them. Do you know? I read this other day. This article the other day. It came from XYZ, and this is what they said. That as informative, but I don't want it to be, I don't make it my opinion. Follow me?
Yeah.
Because, see, when we start putting our opinions on people, that's when we chase people away. That's when we sound salesy, because we're tossing all our opinions at people. You got it? And that's why you like to involve them when they say, well, are you familiar? You look at the food we're eating today, and I don't even consider it. Do you consider it food? I mean, I like to call it like edible food-like substances. What do you think about that? And let them, you see the difference between me trying to express my opinion on them in a kind of a, I'm the school teacher, you're the learner, versus interacting with them, drawing them into the conversation so that they feel a part of it and they can really start venting, because these people have things to vent about. Trust me. When you open the gate, let them vent. This is a technique called don't sell products, get the people to convince themselves. They'll sell themselves on it if you open the door to let them talk. So again, throwing a bunch of data at them and all this stuff and boom, bombarding them, people feel pummeled, and then they feel like they're wrong, and then they feel like, oh my gosh, I've been eating this, and I've been giving this to my kid. You don't want to, you want them to feel that, oh my gosh, this is a solution. Oh my gosh, this is, yes, Mary Jo, I agree. This is like, oh, my kid threw this and this, and get them all active, like that they're fighting. You want them in the fight, not to feel like they're being fought, you know, that you're fighting them. They want to be part of the fight. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll talk about how to do that next Monday. Because
all right. It ties right in with that food-like edible substances, this quote. And I might have the same slide. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll look that up for you, see if I can find it.
All right.
Yeah, and that's, you know, when you hang out with all this language a lot, it starts coming natural for you. But we really want to be instructional, but not, you know, opinion, not so opinionated that we, because I think some of us come across too opinionated and too drama and too, you know, I mean, we really want to kind of open up the gates to let them feel a part of the conversation in a big way, because that's when they start, then they sell themselves. You don't even have to close them. They close themselves. I mean, I have, you know, it's a more successful way of, you know, approaching people, especially with such an awesome product like Nutriveris, where they really can make a difference. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, wow. What's lacking? Yeah. Okay, guys, good. Okay, so I'll prepare for that next week. We'll talk, we'll go with another L. We had leadership lessons today. Next week we'll do languaging lessons, okay? Good. All right, that'll be right before I take off on my trip. So everybody, thanks for the great call today. Thanks for everybody being here, and we'll keep plugging along. Don't ever give up. Just, this is what I talked to you about tweaking. Just tweak a little bit. Because, you know, remember, we all came from a place. I mean, when people talk to me about, well, Mary Jo, you know, you have all this lawyering background that made you so effective. And you guys know my story. The first 6 months, I signed up one person. Yeah, in 6 months. So was I very good at this? No, I was horrible. And the reason I was horrible, because I was so opinionated, and it was all about what I thought had to work. And when people said they didn't want to start with Ambertos, I said, well, this is just a sign your brain's not working, because you can't even see the value of this. So that wasn't very effective. What do you think, guys? Yeah. So you see, we all come from different places, but that's why we need tweaking. We need to, you know, work on ourselves. It's not, you know, we want to blame other people for not being insightful or open, and it's really us. We need to work on us. How can we be different to create a different result? Because, you know, the reality is the only one we can control is us. We can't control anything else that happens out there. Okay, so great. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next Monday. We'll do it on languaging and sharing Nutriveris, sharing for free, all that stuff. I'll talk a little bit more to some other people on the call and see where they want to go. And I know people like Anita are going to be ecstatic because they always ask about languaging. And I will share with you, if you don't have my sheet on Nutriveris, I'll attach that as well on the outline. All right, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. Go out there and make a difference. Lots of people waiting to hear from you. Come from your heart. That's first and foremost. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
You bet.
Bye-bye.